You want to be seated, get your Bible.
And let me give you just a thought is all it is. And I gave this in a statement on last night as we was getting ready to pray. And something the Lord kind of nudged my heart about as we was getting ready for the prayer meeting last night. And in fact, I was riding to get Mr. Ronnie. He wanted to come pray with us on last night. And as I was just riding up the road, there was a lot of traffic. Those of you who live down here in Newport, have y'all noticed how much traffic is in our town at times? And sometimes it's like New York City, not Newport, Tennessee. And I just got noticing all the traffic and all the hustle and bustle. And I think I was sitting at a red light and people was blowing horns at people who they felt like was slowing them down, keeping them from getting where they needed to go. And just people involved in so many things that to them is very, very important. And I was trying to get to Mr. Ronnie on the other side of town and then get back to the church to pray. And the Lord just kind of in the midst of all that was going on around me and everybody trying to get where they wanted to go to do what they thought was important, but Jack, the Spirit of the Lord nudged my heart and said the most important thing that is going to take place in Newport, Tennessee tonight is going to be God's people gathering together to pray. And I believe that. I believe the most important thing happened in Newport, Tennessee last night. Now, I'm not saying they weren't important things, but the most important thing, I believe, was God's people. And I understand some folk couldn't make it last night. You prayed from the house, and so you was joining us in that it was the most important thing that we could have done and that could have been done in our community and in our town. Most important thing our church could have done last night is to gather around the throne room of God, in the throne room of God, around the throne of grace at the feet of our Lord and began to pray. And so I've been thinking on that. I thought on it as we made our way to the prayer meeting last night. And then, of course, as we prayed and through the night last night, just thinking on that of prayer. The most important thing we do is pray. The most important thing our church can do is pray. And we do a lot of important things in the work of God. Singing hymns is a very important part of what we do as a church family. And we've done that tonight. That's very important to our worship. It's very important to the Spirit of the Lord engaging us in the emotion of worship, not emotional worship, but in that emotion of worship. And the singing of hymns is very important. Fellowship with God's people is very important, a very important part of who we are. And the community and fellowship of believers with one another is highly important. And we thank God that we can have that and for what that means to us in our spiritual life. How many of y'all believe that preaching is important? Preaching is extremely important to the work of God that we do. And I believe you take a church and take preaching out of it, and that church has suffered greatly. It'll never be what it ought to be because preaching is very vital and it's very important. And so the statement about prayer is the most important work we do, that's kind of what I want us to settle in on for just a minute, maybe 2 minutes, or maybe 10 minutes, or maybe 20 minutes. I don't know. But just thinking on for a minute tonight about prayer, and I know we've been preaching on prayer, and if you'll excuse me, I'm not going to try to preach Acts 12 because I want to do the best job with that I can. And I don't know what percent I'm working with tonight. When I'm at 100%, but Gerald, it ain't much. And so if I'm deficient of any of that, Amen. You understand it sure ain't hitting on anything. And so we'll get back to that. But look with me. And here's the verse. Here's the verse. After last night, the Lord kind of spoke to my heart about that. And got home and just meditating upon that. The most important thing I could have done last night was what I done last night. Amen. Meeting and praying. And the verses come to mind. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. If you look there for a moment. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. We preach from this verse and taught from it. And we try to make prayer a point of emphasis even in our preaching and in our challenge to the church, and making that realization in your heart that it is an important part of who we are and what we do. Here's what the Apostle Paul said to the young Timothy, who is the pastor, I believe, of the church at Ephesus at the time of the writing of this epistle to this man of God. Here's what he said, just one verse and really one phrase we want to focus in on. But Paul said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And he goes down, and really the first eight verses of this chapter deal with the importance of prayer. Paul telling Timothy of all that he is going to command him to do as a pastor, as a leader in that local church. He's going to deal with preaching. He's going to deal with standards. He's going to deal with qualifications. He's going to deal with behavior and how people are to act in the house of God. And but when chapter number 2, he says, don't forget to be praying. Everything else is limited in its effect if you don't get a hold of the matter and the truth of it all, that prayer is the most important thing we do. That doesn't mean we pray and not do the other things. Notice what Paul said. He said, I exhort therefore that first of all. First of all, it's not the only thing we do. We're not monks in a monastery and in a cave where all we do is sit around on our knees and hum and think about God all day. There is a work to be done. There are things that we've got to put our hands to and directions we've got to set our feet in. But Paul said when it comes to prayer, make sure that prayer is the first of all thing. It is the engine that powers everything else that we are. And so prayer, first of all, I exhort therefore that first of all. And a couple things I'll point out. He gets into this matter first of all. I don't think it's hard to identify. He gives several descriptions of the ministry and the work that we're speaking about tonight, and even uses the word prayer, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. These are the things that are to be first of all. And so beyond all other things we do, these matters of supplicating, of reaching up to heaven for those that are deficient and have need, making requests to the Lord, interceding for sinners, interceding for our Christian brothers and sisters upon our knees, and begging God to meet their needs is something that ought to be emphasized as the most important work we do. Now, consider for a minute the matter of first of all, and it really drives home the point that this is the chief thing or the most important thing that we do. The phrase first of all simply means foremost, listen to this, foremost in time, place, order, and here's the word, and importance. When Paul said that these matters of prayer, these areas that hit on our prayer life and are talking to the Lord, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks, that these things ought to be foremost in time. These are the things we ought to dedicate our time to. And we ought to be giving more time to prayer in these last days and not less time in prayer. And I forget who it was. Miss Kate sent me a quote today. It was Tozer or Lloyd Jones or one of them guys, and was talking about the quote emphasized. No, it wasn't. It was George Mueller is who it was, who was a prayer warrior, if you know anything about Mueller. And I won't get the quote right. In essence, he was saying that in the times of greatest need, we are tempted by the devil to pray less, as if it was pointless, as if it was useless. And so we detach ourselves from that time of prayer when in fact we ought to be praying more. Now, in the days we're living in, the need is greater than it's ever been. The matters at hand, there's more sin, there's more wickedness, there's more things to drag us down, drag the church down, divide the people of God. And in these times we're living in, Paul said, do not forget to make sure that prayer is the foremost ministry and work that has your time. That has your time. How much time are you spending with God in prayer? And we want to be careful that I don't know. You know, I've read all kinds of things, read a lot about prayer, enjoy a lot of different men preaching on prayer. And I love reading about other men's prayer lives. I love hearing about other men's prayer lives. We're not talking about measuring the time we pray compared to somebody else. But am I giving myself enough time to pray as is sufficient to the things that I'm going through or the things that I'm facing or the way the Spirit of God is leading me to do? If I look at, let me say it this way. If I look at the time I'm spending in prayer, would that reveal in my life that prayer is the first of all things? Do I spend more time on the media formats? Do I spend more time watching television? Do I spend more time engaged in other things that would be the indicator? Those things are the foremost thing in my life, the most important thing in my life. Is there any indication in the time I'm spending in prayer that that is something that is important to my life? And so foremost in time, foremost in place and in order, the order of my life, the way that my life is it structured around prayer so that when I look at the order of my life, that it would be evident, that it would stick out that prayer is the important thing. And so importance, this matter, first of all, foremost in importance. And the idea here, when I looked at this afternoon, this phrase, it is a phrase that expresses emphatically that this matter of prayer is before all. Before all, before I engage in anything else, prayer is what I go to. Now again, this doesn't mean this is the only thing we do. It doesn't mean we don't preach. It doesn't mean that we don't sing. It doesn't mean that we don't soul win or that we try to be a witness. And it doesn't mean that we don't work around the house of God. It doesn't mean we're not engaged in the cause of Christ in the various ways the Spirit of the Lord leads us. But that before all of that, I am giving myself to pray. And so I'm a God-called preacher. I am to emphatically, before I preach, give myself to prayer. Is that right? And you are, and I am, before we gather to worship and gather to fellowship, I am to, before all of that, make sure that I have give myself to prayer. Prayer is the most important work we do. Does that make sense? I thought about this out of this verse as we've just kind of meditated on it. We see that it is the most important thing we do. That is prayer. But notice what Paul said. He said two things I'll point out. He said, I exhort, therefore. I'm encouraging you to do this. I am trying to light your fire to get you to pray. And you know, that's been a theme of Calvary Baptist Tabernacle for years and years and years and years, is that Preacher Wells was a man of God of prayer. And he wanted to lead the church in prayer. And so he spent a lot of time teaching folk and engaging folk and challenging people. You know what he was doing? He's doing what the Apostle Paul was doing 2,000 years ago, exhorting this other preacher and that church to give themselves to prayer. And we've tried to carry that mantle. We've tried to pick up that mantle and carry that mantle and keep prayer. And it seems like the older that I get, and the longer I'm in ministry, and I'm not saying prayer was not important in the early days, it was. And in fact, God taught me much about prayer and the importance of prayer early on in my ministry. And I'm thankful for what he taught me. I'll never get over what he taught me. I'll never write books about it. There's just some real personal things God taught me in some of them late night prayer meetings there in the first few years that was really getting after preaching, and I'm thankful for that. But it seems like, Brother Joe, the older I get, the more I'm compelled and understand that prayer must not just be important, it must be the most important. It must be the most important. And so I want to exhort you tonight, as Paul is exhorting Timothy and therefore is exhorting us all these years later, to pray. Step it up and pray. And we've been preaching on what prayer is made of, not just saying prayers, but really learning what it is to make prayers to God and engage in the work of prayer through the spirit of prayer in our life. And then notice what Paul said. Now, I'll make one more conclusion, and I'm going to be closer to the 20-minute than the 2-minute. All right? Y'all thought there for a minute. You thought 2 minutes. Yes. All right? Notice what he said. He said, I exhort, and here's a big word all the way through the Scripture. I exhort, therefore. I exhort, therefore. Now, we've all heard the the hermeneutical law that you're supposed to apply when you're studying the Scripture and you see the word therefore? What's the statement? Stop and see what it is there for. Everybody heard that? You've heard me use that. You've heard other preachers use that. I exhort therefore. And so what you have to remember is when Paul is writing to Timothy, he did not begin his letter with Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Verse 2, he didn't write it in chapters and verses. He wrote it as a letter. And thank God we have the chapters and verses. There's nothing wrong with that division of the Word of God. In fact, it's probably more important for our generation than any generation has ever been. But what you got to remember is sometimes in our mind we divide these chapters as though, okay, here's chapter 1, he was dealing with one thing, now he's moving on to something else. But that's not the case. He said, I exhort therefore. And so it links us back to what he's just said. In fact, I believe in particular it links us back to what he just said in the closing 3 verses of chapter number 1, and maybe even the entirety of the chapter, but we won't elaborate on that. Notice what he said. He said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. And so Timothy has a charge to keep. He is charging him to do something. And it relates in particular to the ministry that Timothy has to his generation. There's a charge upon his life. There is a calling upon his life. There's a work that Timothy has to be engaged in and involved in. But then Paul said in our text verse, I exhort therefore. Timothy, you got a charge on you. You've got a key. You've got a commitment that has been laid on your shoulders. You have to do. And so, Timothy, don't forget, in light of that charge, to get on your knees and commit yourself, first of all, to prayer. And I believe that's something we need to understand in these days, that God has called all of us. We're not all a Timothy. We're not all the pastor. We're not all a preacher. We're not all a teacher. We're not all, you know, kind of in the forefront of leadership within a church. But we all have a calling upon our lives spiritually. And whatever your calling is, you're to be committed to it. And here's what has always blown my mind, and maybe I'm beginning to be more and more aware of it. The older I get, God saved me and then called me to do something I cannot do. Imagine that. You say, preacher, that's unfair. God would call us and give us something on our shoulders to do that we ourselves cannot do. How in the world do we do it? I'll tell you how you do it. First of all, you better give yourself to supplication and prayer and make prayer the important thing of your life. And it's only through the power of God that we can do what He's called us to do. And there'll be no power of God upon our life if prayer is not the chief thing. And so there is a calling involved in verse number 18. There is a calling. There is a conflict. Notice what he said, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. In other words, he is reminding Timothy, you're in a conflict. Buddy, you are in a war for your spiritual life. Amen. Do y'all sense the war that goes on in this generation? Do you sense the conflict and the battle that there is that is on every hand? It seems like on every front, every direction you turn in this generation, there is a war that is being waged and raging against us. Preacher, how are we going to win the war? How do we maintain victory? I exhort, therefore, because of the conflict that you're in and the battles that are going to come against you and try to defeat you, I am exhorting you, therefore, that first of all, amen, do not leave prayer out. In fact, make it the most important thing. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of folk falling in the fight because prayer has not been the important thing. And I understand I ain't jumping pews and I ain't sweating and spitting five rows back. Amen. I'm barely getting it past a little lip on the pulpit. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. The conflicts that we're facing and the wars and the warfare that we have coming our way in the days that are to come. Amen. Can I tell you tonight, God's people better give themselves first of all to prayer. Amen. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And so you may note there in verse number 19, the matter not only of calling and the matter of conflict, but there is the matter of conscience. The matter of conscience. And we could talk about conscience and how our conscience propels us through life or holds us back through life. And I've dealt with a lot of folk here recently, or several folk recently, that are battling guilt about different things and battling mindsets. You know, the greatest way to win victories over that is to pray and holding faith and a good conscience. And then there is the matter, I don't know how you would word this, And kind of all of this is just coming to me as I speak to you. And as I thought about it, it's all just kind of lining up tonight. But there is the matter of compromise. The matter of compromise in these verses. I exhort, therefore, not only because you have a calling and not only because of the conflict and not only but for your conscience sake, but in the matter of compromise. That is, he's going to give an example and remind Timothy of those who have compromised. He said, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, And so Paul called some names. He said, I'll give you some specific names of people who have done this. He said, and he talks about whom I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. And Hymenaeus and Alexander had been a part of the church. They had been a part of the work of God. They had a calling on their life. They had been involved in the wars and fighting a good warfare and had been folk that maybe at one time had a good conscience. Paul said, don't forget those who have made compromises that are out of the faith now, have walked away now, that are now in spiritual decline and in spiritual trouble. Amen. And sometimes we think about that, and I'll be honest with you, I don't gloat in that. Paul's not gloating in that. Paul's not calling names to make himself look big and others look small. I think it is a warning. It is a warning, and I'll be honest, I had a man text me last night. I had a man text me last night. He's a good friend of mine, and he's not in the ministry. Recently lost his church, and recently has been through some things that he's had to step out. And I'm not judging him tonight. I'm not mad about it tonight. In fact, I have tried to reach out and call him on several occasions just to tell him I love you, I'm praying for you, I don't agree with what you done, don't know how you got in the shape you got in, but I am praying for you and praying for your family. And have tried several times to reach out and without avail, but he reached out to me last night. He reached out to me last night, and Lord's will, I'm going to try to be a help and be a blessing to him. That don't mean that I'm going to compromise for him. But my point is simply this. When I think about that and directions he's gone, it makes me, Brother A.L., be reminded I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to be the one, amen, that somebody else has to come to one day and put their arm around me and say, I love you. How'd you get in the shape you got in? Now, how am I going to keep from doing that? How am I going to keep from compromising to that degree? Amen. I exhort, therefore, in light of the compromises you've seen others make, Timothy, you stay on your knees. And you make sure that you make prayer the first of all thing in your life. Can I say, I've said it before, I'll say it again tonight, and I'll say it again, amen, until Jesus comes by the grace of God. Every spiritual failure in our life as God's people is a prayer failure. It is a prayer failure. It is somewhere along the way prayer quit being the most important thing. And I don't claim tonight, do not in any way think I'm claiming to be some great spiritual prayer warrior. I don't pray enough. I don't probably emphasize it for sure. Amen, to the degree that I do. But I'll be honest, there's a sense in me, the older I get, you got to pray a little more. You got to pray a little more. You got to pray a little more. Because I sense the calling, I sense the conflict, I sense it that at times my conscience wants to be weak, and I sense at times just, man, I see so many, Gerald, falling on every hand, falling and not standing where they should or where they used to stand. And I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be that way. And I need preaching to help bolster all those areas. I need fellowship to help bolster all those areas. I need church to bolster all those areas of my life. And those things are important. Amen. All those things are important. But do not forget, prayer is the most important work we do. Amen. Well, that's my devotional thought for you. And boy, that I feel like I could preach right now. Things are loosening up. Amen. Things are loosening up. And you say, preacher, when are you going to preach again? Amen. Just as soon as I'm able. Amen. Just as soon as I'm able. Y'all believe what I said tonight? Y'all believe that? Amen. I believe it, and I know you believe it. We've been trying to put it in practice, and sure I am thankful the Lord's teaching us some things, all right? And so you say, preacher, I'm doing the best I can. Amen. We'll do the best you can, and then do a little bit more. Amen. You'll never, never pray too much. You'll never make prayer too important. Can I say that again, and we're done? You'll never, and I'll never, make prayer too important in our life. Never. I've made it not important enough, but I've never found a place where I made it too important. And so let's give ourselves to that in these days, all right?